Mrs. Avita Kalp-Hobby, Secretary of Health, Welfare, and Education, outlines the Eisenhower Health Program as she predicts better health for more people. Introducing her, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. The one woman member of the cabinet is the Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, Avita Kalp-Hobby. I met her during the war when she organized a highly efficient Women's Army Corps and served as its commanding officer during hostilities. In the Army, she was known and admired as a real leader, one who got things done. As secretary, she has been in charge of some of the very important problems in the government, those dealing with the leadership the federal government must exercise in making certain that our people may safeguard health, secure a satisfactory education, and attain security in their old age or from loss of employment. These subjects are of intimate and immediate concern to every American. So tonight I have asked Mrs. Hobby to talk to you about the broad and comprehensive program we have proposed for federal cooperation with local government and with private enterprise to achieve these aims. Here is Secretary Hobby.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight I would like to talk about a subject of deep personal concern to you, the health security of you and your family. Health security means the peace of mind that comes with the knowledge that you and your family will be able to pay the cost of medical and hospital care. As a mother, I know that health security lies at the very heart of a sound family life. It is important for you to know that if you or your loved ones get sick or have an accident, it will be possible to get first-rate medical care without using your savings or mortgaging your future. We believe that helping individuals meet personal disaster is a proper concern of the federal government. Therefore, we want to help you build greater health security. The Department of Health, Education, and Welfare is responsible for the federal government's efforts in this field. Last January, President Eisenhower, in his State of the Union message, said, "I am flatly opposed to the socialization of medicine. The great need for hospital and medical services can best be met by the initiative of private plans. But it is unfortunately a fact that medical costs are rising and already impose severe hardships on many families. The federal government can do many helpful things and still carefully avoid the socialization of medicine." In a later message, the president recommended a four-point health program to help meet the needs of the people. One proposal would help pay for more hospitals for people with long-term illnesses and for other medical treatment centers. Another proposal is to rehabilitate thousands more disabled people to happy and useful lives. These two proposals have been passed by both houses of Congress. A third part of the health program would give the states more freedom in using federal money they are now getting to improve your local public health services. This proposal has been passed by the House. But I want to talk with you tonight about another part of the President's program, a plan which would encourage insurance organizations to provide better health insurance. Bills containing this plan were introduced in the House by Congressman Charles A. Wolverton and in the Senate by Senators H. Alexander Smith, Prescott Bush, John Sherman Cooper, Ralph E. Flanders, Homer Ferguson, Irving E. Ives, Leverett Saltonstall, and Robert W. Upton. This plan has been reported out of the Senate Labor and Public Welfare Committee and the House Interstate and Foreign Commerce Committee. This is a new approach toward solving the health problems of the American people. It rejects socialized medicine. It protects your right to choose your own doctor, and it is a key part of the Eisenhower Program for Better Health. Let me illustrate why this plan is a key part of the Eisenhower Health Program. In 1952, we spent $9.4 billion for hospital care, doctors, dentists, nurses, and medicine. Out of this 9,400,000,000, only $1,600,000,000, or 17%, was paid for by health insurance. Although we can never expect insurance to pay 100% of the nation's medical bills, we must all admit that 17% is low. One reason insurance plays such a small part of the nation's medical bills is that not enough people have insurance. Another reason is that the insurance you now have may not cover enough of your medical expenses. This administration would like to see more of your medical expenses paid by your insurance. Now, how can this plan help you? It can help you get the protection of good voluntary health insurance. Just as you insure your house against fire and your car against accidents, you can insure yourself against future medical costs. How many people have this important private health insurance? Only 8 million people in 1939. But in 1952, 92 million. This tremendous growth proves that the majority of the American people look to insurance as a means of paying part of their medical cost. But there are still 63 million persons who have no health insurance of any kind. Let's talk about the 63 million people who have no health insurance whatever. Some of these people probably could not or would not obtain insurance in any event. But what about the rest? Who are they? They are farmers, gas station operators, carpenters, mechanics, professional people, people who work in small stores, factories, barbershops, and in similar businesses. Here is a hospitalization policy that is now available in a Midwestern city. It is a good policy as far as it goes. It provides substantial payment for room and board for 120 days. It costs for a family $65 a year. It covers maternity cases. It helps pay for laboratory examinations, medicines, and other hospital services. And it provides up to $65 for the treatment of accidents not requiring hospitalization. Now, this is the type of insurance we would like to see insurance organizations make available to all of you. We believe that even the very good payments in this policy can be substantially increased so that the payments will cover more of your hospital bills. We believe they can be improved to help you get better protection against long-term illness. Now, suppose you're one of the 92 million people who do have some kind of health insurance. Let's say you have a policy like the one I described. We would like to see insurance organizations offer, for example, an increase in the number of days of hospitalization paid by your insurance, an increase in the amount paid for room and board, an increase in the payments for special services, such as x-rays, and for larger payments for accidents. So you see, there is a double purpose in the President Eisenhower's plan. One is to help many more of you obtain voluntary health insurance. And two is to help those of you who already have some insurance get better insurance to pay more of your medical bills. Do we need such a plan? To answer this, here is a type of letter received from all parts of the country. My husband is a farmer, and we live way out in the country. My brother works in a big factory in a nearby city, and he can buy a good health policy for very little money. We've tried to buy that same insurance, but we can't get it because it is only sold to groups of people. Why can't farmers get the same kind of insurance? Well, what can this proposal do for that family? Well, this family and neighboring farmers could get health insurance by gathering enough people together to form a health insurance group. The President's proposal could make it easier for such a group to get a good health plan. The farmer's family then could subscribe to or buy, a health plan like that of their relatives in the city. Now here is another example, a man who wants better health insurance. The company I work for gives me and my family hospitalization. It's nice to have this insurance, but the trouble is it doesn't cover enough. I took my wife to the clinic. She had to have a lot of x-rays and laboratory tests, which cost $68. Because she was not a patient in the hospital, our insurance paid none of the bill. Now, how can the president's plan help this family? Well, it could encourage insurance organizations to pay for x-rays and laboratory tests, even though it was not necessary for this woman to go into the hospital. But for those people who must enter a hospital, payments for each day might be increased. It is also hoped that better insurance would include greater payments for the care of such long-term illnesses as cancer, heart disease, or better care for more people over 65. To provide more of you with better insurance organization will have to try out new types of policies in which they have little experience. This involves risk. To encourage these organizations to test new plans, a federal reinsurance service would be established. This new service would share part of the risk with insurance organizations. Now let me say, this is not a plan to pay your premiums for you, nor is it a government handout for insurance organizations. On the contrary, they will have to pay for this service just as you pay premiums on your own insurance policy. This is a plan for the government to encourage insurance organizations to provide more of you with better insurance. There are several facts you will want to understand about the president's proposal. The plan would be wholly voluntary. No one in Washington is forcing you to buy health insurance. What we are trying to do is to make it possible for you to have health insurance if you and your family want it, and at a reasonable cost. It will not affect the way in which you buy your health insurance. You will still buy it from the company and the agent of your own choice. And also, I want to make it perfectly clear that this proposal would help only those people who can and are willing to include health insurance in their family budget. The proposal I have just described takes two important steps toward your health security. First, it will provide voluntary health insurance for many more persons. And second, just as importantly, it will encourage better voluntary health insurance. I am convinced that this proposal would bring you and your family more health security, and greater freedom from worry about the cost of medical care. Security against overwhelming medical expense in each and every home. Means a more secure and a stronger America. Thank you, and good evening.
We've listened to a prominent member of the president's team, Mrs. Ovita Kulp-Hobby, Secretary of Health, Welfare, and Education, as she discussed the president's health program, direct from the White House.